Russell Martin game tying solo blast off Chad Green, top seven, top eight. Dellin Betances is forced in the go-ahead run with four walks. Judge struck out to end the game. Toronto defeated New York 7-6. Cubs scored seven unanswered runs in a 7-2 victory over the Rays. 7-3 victory over the Rays. White Sox up 6-2 on the A's. They're in the top of the sixth. Indians manager Terry Francona will miss his second straight game tonight. The 58-year-old remains hospitalized at the Cleveland Clinic, where doctors are running tests to determine what's been making him feel lightheaded. This is Francona's third hospital stay in the last month. Let me correct myself. It is the A's leading the White Sox 6-2, top six. Oilers signed NHL MVP Connor McDavid to an 8-year, $100 million extension. NBA, the agent for guard Nick Young, told ESPN he's agreed to a 1-year, $5.2 million deal with the Warriors. He's going to Golden State to play a pivotal role on its bench.
Stop in at Jersey Mike's today for a sub and a 32-ounce Pepsi fountain, and you could win the music trip of a lifetime. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends August 14th. See official rules at PepsiRockThisWay.com.
Here's the scoop on garden soil. Sometimes it needs help from the Home Depot, where bags of Miracle-Gro garden soil are a special buy, three for just $10. It improves existing soil with nutrients plants need for stronger roots, so they'll hit the ground running, starting with much better ground. Miracle-Gro garden soil, three bags, $10. Now at the number one retailer for Scott's Miracle-Gro, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last. Contiguous U.S. only. Limit 80 per customer.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Here's Pete, Tony, and the 2 for $4 croissant sandwich deal.
The other day, Pete and I go to Burger King for my croissant sandwich. You know, they're just 2 for $4.
Oh, it's my favorite. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so I got 2 croissant sandwich, and I gave one to this guy.
I'm like, who are you?
I'm the guy that just paid for your breakfast.
That's my favorite guy.
You guys, the croissant sandwich deal is 2 for $4. Now made with 100% butter for a soft and flaky croissant. Get 2 croissant sandwiches now for $4 only at Burger King. Price and participation vary.
I'm James Coe with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Colin Kaepernick remains unsigned, and some, for some reason, have questioned his desire to play the game. Well, Niners GM John Lynch shared his thoughts on the matter.
I would tell you, with my conversations with Colin, he is fully committed to wanting to be in this league. And I think there is a perception that football is not on the top of his list. And so, you know, my communication with Colin was, go sit down and do an interview and let people know exactly where you stand, because he makes a compelling case as to how bad he wants to be in the league when you talk to him.
Raiders guard Gabe Jackson called Derek Carr one of the most selfless people he knows. That's because Carr's new team-friendly deal helped Oakland sign Jackson to his $56 million extension. And Mitchell Trubisky has spoken with Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, and Ben Roethlisberger looking for advice on being an NFL quarterback. Big Ben's advice, be yourself. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
With Quicken Loans, the outdated and complicated mortgage process is a thing of the past. Our simple process helps you understand all the details so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage. Take your mortgage to the next level and call 800-QUICKEN or go completely online with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. No matter how you prefer to work with us, we've got what you need to get you through the mortgage process with ease. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Whether you're looking to purchase or refinance, now is the time. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.23%. Call 800-QUICKEN or get started online at rocketmortgage.com. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions.
Back to the Todd Bromelcamp Show, right here on KGYM.
How good does that sound? I know it's Hail to the Victors, but how good does that sound to hear a college football fight song in July? That can mean only one thing. Welcome back to the Todd Bromelcamp Show, originating on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM. The countdown to kickoff is officially underway. Countdown to kickoff leading up to Big Ten Media Days in Chicago later this month. That's the 24th and 25th, if you want to put it on your calendar. We'll be broadcasting live from the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place in Chicago both days. We hope to have Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz with us, as he traditionally has in the past when we've been in Chicago. And we'll be taking a look at one school in the Big Ten each day leading up to Big Ten Media Days. Countdown to kickoff brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. And today, if Hail to the Victors didn't completely give it away, it's the University of Michigan. Josh Henschke from the scout.com website that covers Michigan joining us now. And Josh, let's go ahead and start here. This is, even though year number three for Jim Harbaugh, it's sort of the year where things get real in Ann Arbor, because he lost a ton of talent to graduation in the NFL last year.
Year for, you know, Harbaugh to show that, you know, he's got this team going places. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, the program is in much better, it's in a much better place than when he inherited it. But again, this is where he's going to make his money, because there's a lot of inexperienced talent on that team. It's definitely, you know, you look down the depth chart and it's not void of talent by any means, but there's just not much experience there. And it's a lot of these young guys need to mature quickly.
Let's start with one of those inexperienced talent areas with J.U. Jesson and Amara Darbo, as well as Jake Butt gone. Who are some of the names to keep an eye on as far as weapons for Wilton Spate to throw to?
Yeah, I mean, you've got obviously the two biggest names that kind of stick out from the past recruiting class in Tariq Black and Donovan Peoples-Jones. Many people are kind of slotting them into the one and two positions. And you know, they're extremely talented. You know, you saw it during the spring game that they're capable of, you know, extremely athletic plays. And that's something that, you know, Michigan needs and will utilize under Pep Hamilton as they go more kind of shotgun type of situations and kind of try to air it out a little bit more. You also have kind of returning players that haven't really quite, you know, dug their heels in yet. You know, you've got Mo Ways. He's been there for quite some time. Guys like Nate Johnson in the slot. Eddie McDoom, who is kind of really wasn't utilized as a wide receiver last year. He was kind of more of a jet sweep guy. They're expecting him to get kind of a more expanded role this year. So, like I said, you know, there's talent there, but there's just a lot of inexperience that kind of, you know, needs to show itself, especially with an opponent against Florida week one.
What, in your opinion, will the running game look like for Michigan this year?
That's a good question, because I think that all depends on the offensive line. Last year, you know, you look at the offensive line and you look at how much experience that they had, and they really weren't impressive. You know, there were occasions where you're like, okay, finally they're going to turn this around. And then towards the end of the year, especially against Florida State, they could not keep Spate upright. So is it a situation where, you know, it's an addition by subtraction where you've got these young guys that Harbaugh and Drew Nebno have recruited in and kind of, you know, coached up a little bit? We'll see. But, and then at the same time, you have to figure out if Michigan is going to go with a, you know, a single running back group, which could be led by a guy like Chris Evans, who was kind of a surprise for Michigan last year. And then you also have someone like a Caron Higdon, who seemed like a nice 1-2 punch with Chris Evans too. And then obviously you've got a guy like Ty Isaac, who's in his final year, who, again, kind of like the Mo Way situation, who needs to, you know, dig in and really, you know, make some plays on the field in order to get more snaps.
You mentioned the offensive line. So other than the Swiss Army knife Mason Cole, will probably be at left tackle, and the freshman All-American Ben Brebison, how much of a question mark is from the center to the right side of that offensive line?
Well, I don't think they've really found a combination yet that works. I think, you know, that you've got guys like John Runyon, Pat Kugler, who's been there for a little while but has suffered through some injuries. So there's a little bit of question mark there. You know, a guy like Michael Onwenu, who is like 350 pounds and is massive, he could be a good anchor there too. So I think they're on the right path of finding a group that works. It's just now it kind of needs to develop into something. And Michigan kind of really emphasized the offensive line group by replacing Tyrone Wheatley with Greg Fry, the tackles, who will be a tackles coach, and sharing responsibilities with Tim Drevno, who will be the guards coach. So they've really emphasized offensive line development this offseason.
We're beginning the countdown to kickoff in Ann Arbor with Josh Henschke of Scout.com, the Michigan Insider. What, in your opinion, is the biggest question that the Wolverines have to answer before that September 2nd opener in Arlington against an opponent that Iowa saw in the Outback Bowl this year? The Wolverines open with the Gators.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be an easy task by any means, but I think, I mean, outside of you know, Michigan needs to replace so many previous starters. I feel like that's a cop-out of sense. But I think the defensive backs, for me, it's either 1A or 1B with the offensive line. But I think the defensive backs, considering what they lost, pretty much the entire defensive back group is gone. Jordan Lewis highlighting that group. I think, you know, you're inserting young guys like who are probably going to be David Long and LeVert Hill as starters at corner. So that's a lot of experience and a lot of success that, you know, they're going to have to replace, and they're going to get picked on, and, you know, there's going to be some growing pains. So it's going to be a trial by fire because they didn't really see much playing time outside of the occasional garbage minutes. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens with these guys out there, because they're going to get thrown out there, and, you know, even if it's not going to be Long or Hill, I mean, there's young guys behind them, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
The defense as a whole will have lost 10 starters from last year. Is there maybe one name from last year's team that Don Brown might miss the most?
Jordan Lewis, I'd say. I think Jordan Lewis by far. You know, anytime you lose an All-American corner, you know, it's not easy to replace. I mean, you can make an argument for Jabril Peppers because he did so many things on defense, but you know, replacing a corner that, you know, it got to the point where teams didn't even want to throw at Lewis. So I think he's going to be the biggest name that they'll miss. I mean, it may be, and you can make an argument too for a guy like Taco Charlton too, who's just, you know, a big presence on the defensive line and so talented. And, you know, I think those two guys, Don Brown's going to miss a lot this year.
Speaking of up front and Taco Charlton, you think back to 2015 when Jabril Peppers was a sophomore. That was really his breakout year. Could we be seeing a similar situation with Rayshon Gary moving into his sophomore season?
Yeah, I definitely think you could. There's enough guys on that defensive line, Brian Monet, Maurice Hurst, Chase Winovich, and a couple of other guys, Aubrey Solomon too, the five-star recruit that Michigan's bringing in for 2017 class. I think there's an opportunity there for, you know, Gary to kind of take advantage of the double teams elsewhere, because you still have to watch out for Maurice Hurst. He had a pretty successful season in a backup type of role. Now he's thrusted into the limelight. So someone's going to be left unguarded, because you're either going to have to double team Gary or double team Hurst. And I think Gary definitely, I mean, he's said all the right things. Coaches have been raving about him all offseason. So there's definitely, you know, an opportunity for him to break out in a big way.
Let's stick with Jabril Peppers here. Is there any player that can sort of fill that hybrid role now that he's no longer a part of the program?
Yeah, absolutely. They've got Kalik Hudson. He's very similar to Jabril Peppers in body type. I think he's actually more ripped than Jabril is, and that's saying a lot, because Jabril was a pretty big guy for his size. So they've pretty much slotted Kalik Hudson into that hybrid Viper role. So I think he'll do very well. He had an excellent spring game. You know, the sky is the limit for him, and I think he's going to have a great season.
How would you assess, as a whole, Wilton Spate's first season as a starting quarterback?
Started off very strong, and then that shoulder injury he suffered against Iowa kind of just derailed everything. For what it's worth, he had a gutsy performance against Ohio State. Yeah, he had two pick sixes and a crucial fumble in the red zone, but he started off very strong. Yes, the competition wasn't as great as it was towards the tail end of the year. I'd say it was good, not great. I mean, the team definitely had an opportunity to make it a great season, but they dropped the ball towards the end of the year. But, you know, I think he did enough of the right things. I mean, he kept his interception ratio down, which is extremely positive. You know, he made smart decisions with the football for most of the year. So that was positive too. So I think he's definitely got some room to grow for a guy who many didn't really think that Spate had a chance to even start. You know, I think he did enough to put himself in the argument as a, you know, locked in starter for now.
When you take a look at the schedule, what one game sticks out to you the most as being important? Is it that opener September 2nd against Florida, or is it going to be somewhere in the Big Ten schedule?
Yeah, I think, you know, you want to have a measuring stick game early on to see what your team is capable of. And I think Florida, that Florida game is a huge measuring stick game for that team because you're throwing a lot of young guys out into the fire early. And I think that is going to be huge. If Michigan can walk away with a win, I think that'll be huge for the confidence of the young guys going forward. And then, you know, you've got Penn State, I think, is going to be a very important game for Michigan. You know, you're at Penn State, it's probably going to be a night game. And the, you know, the atmosphere is always crazy down there. So I think that's going to be a big game. Michigan the past couple of years has had Penn State's number, but I think we're talking about a different Penn State team heading into this season. So I think those two, you know, stick out right away. I mean, obviously Ohio State at the end of the year is going to be huge, but yeah, right at that beginning of the part of the season, that Florida and Penn State game stick out right away.
Which unit, either offensively or defensively, is going to be the biggest strength for this team?
I would still go with defense, despite losing so much. I think, you know, you can't rule out what Don Brown has done, through not just at Michigan, but throughout his career, and he gets the benefit of the doubt. You know, Michigan's still, they've got some returners. I mean, they've got some fast linebackers, which they haven't had in quite some time, and you started to see that last year. You know, with Mike McCray finally healthy, and then you got Devin Bush, who's quick sideline to sideline and really can, you know, hit hard too. So I say defense. I think the offense has got a little ways to go to catch up, but, you know, I think both can be good in time. They just need some time to gel with these young guys.
Who's the one newcomer that's most likely to leave the biggest impact on this team at the end of the season?
Oh, that's a good question. Me personally, I would say Tariq Black. I think what I saw from him from the spring game, I was left extremely impressed. And I think he was a little bit undervalued by most recruiting services just because of where he played his high school football. So my guess is my vote is going to be Tariq Black.
What have you heard, if anything, about Oliver Martin, a kid from Iowa City West High, right in our backyard? It was a big story in this neck of the woods when he announced that he was going to commit to Michigan and Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got a shot to play this year. I think he's an excellent candidate for the slot position. They've got a couple of guys like Grant Perry, Nate Johnson, Eddie McDoom, who can also play the slot. But I think, you know, there's no one is guaranteed a redshirt year until you prove that you need a year of season. And I think, you know, Oliver Martin has every opportunity to go out there and prove that he belongs. I mean, we've talked to Oliver and his family many, many times throughout the process, and Harbaugh loves the fact that he's a multi-sport player, loves the fact that he can play baseball. So, you know, that type of athleticism and you know, ability to do a bunch of different things, it really reflects highly on Harbaugh. So, you know, he was excited that he landed Martin, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him playing early on in his career.
Josh, I have to ask pretty much everybody that covers Michigan this question, but what is it like covering a program led by Jim Harbaugh and all the fireworks and the national headlines that come with it?
Well, I mean, they definitely Harbaugh definitely keeps it interesting, and that's the way, you know, I like it. You know, I'm relatively new to the Michigan beat as a whole, so it's definitely exciting. It's better than the alternatives. I was, you know, I think my first year covering Michigan fully was the last year of Brady Hoke. So we had that concussion scandal, Dave Brandon situation. So I'd much rather have what Harbaugh's brought to the program now than compared to what it was a couple of years ago, that's for sure.
Josh, we appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Josh Henschke of the Michigan Insider on the Scout.com network. The Wolverines again will be the next Big Ten team for the Florida Gators. They dispatched the Hawkeyes in the Outback Bowl. They'll take on the Wolverines in Arlington, Texas, at the home of the Dallas Cowboys September 2nd. Florida coming off a 9-4 season. The other non-conference games for Michigan this year, Cincinnati, who was 4-8 a year ago, and then what I would consider somewhat interesting home game at the Big House on September 16th against Air Force. That's a team that was 10-3 a year ago and plays an interesting style of ball. When you look at the Big Ten schedule, though, for Michigan, in my opinion, I don't think Jim Harbaugh could have drawn this up any better, because they start at Purdue, and then they've got Michigan State, but they get to play Michigan State, their rival, in Ann Arbor. Then they go back-to-back road trips to Indiana and Penn State. The Penn State game will obviously be a tough one. Then back-to-back home games against Rutgers on October 28th and Minnesota on November 4th, with a trip to Maryland November 11th. And basically, it boils down to the final two games in Big Ten play, at least at first blush to me. November 18th, they've got to go to Camp Randall and take on Wisconsin on the road, which is always a tough task. And then November 25th, they come home to Ann Arbor. It's Ohio State. So they benefit from playing both of their major rivals, Ohio State and Michigan State, in Ann Arbor this year. Really, the biggest road game is at Wisconsin. You could throw Penn State in there also, but you look at Purdue, Indiana, Rutgers, Minnesota, Maryland. This is a really favorable Big Ten schedule for Jim Harbaugh, and you couldn't have drawn it up better, as I said, basically reloading, losing all of those starters from the offensive and defensive sides of the football.
This is very much a boomer bust football team, and I think we're going to get a very good idea of how good of a recruiter that Jim Harbaugh is based on this year. They lose 10 starters off the defensive side of the football. They lose pretty much all of the weapons that Wilton Spate has to throw to and hand off to. Davion Smith, we didn't talk about. He is gone from last year's team. And I still think that people are going to have them in the top 15 heading into the preseason. And they have so much talent that's waiting in the wings from the recruiting, as I mentioned, that Jim Harbaugh has done over the years, that's ready to step in. And like Josh said, kind of trial by fire. They're going to step right into a situation where they're playing Florida week one, but the schedule gets a little bit easier after that. Like you mentioned, Todd, you're playing a rebuilding Cincinnati team, a tough game against Air Force, but the Big Ten schedule is pretty favorable. So I think this could very well be a top 10 to 15 team, but if some of these young guys don't handle the Big Ten as well as a lot of people predicted from their recruiting rankings, then things could go south. But with Jim Harbaugh at the helm, I'm never going to bet against an 8 or 9 win season from this team.
Yeah, but will 8 or 9, is that going to be enough this year in year 3 for Harbaugh? Can he sell that to that fan base? With that schedule, 8 or 9 wins, I just don't think that it gets it done. That's the start of the countdown to kick off. Ann Arbor crossed off the list. Tomorrow, we'll head to Lincoln and take a look at the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And then on Friday, when we're in Iowa City at the Coach's Corner, it's Evanston and the Northwestern Wildcats. Speaking of Coach's Corner, they are the sponsor for the countdown to kickoff, taking us up to the 24th of July. That is the start of Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. We'll be there both days doing the show on site from the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place. 524. Quick break. We come back. Kyle's going to rejoin us in the studio. Time now for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update after this. You're listening to the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM.
For over 30 years, IT Solutions has been taking care of businesses' technology needs. Learn more at IneedMyComputersToWork.com.
Hey, boss, is our computer network up and running yet?
No, they're still working on it.
It's been over 2 days. How much longer is it going to be?
I don't know. Everything seemed to be working fine, so I didn't think we needed to do anything. Then, when we lost all our files to that virus, I called some guy and he said our virus protection and backups weren't working correctly. He's still trying to get our files back.
I told you we needed to call IT Solutions before we had a problem.
I know.
The office where my brother works uses IT Solutions, and they aren't having any problems. My sister's business had a virus slip through, but they had all their files back in 30 minutes.
I wish that was us.
Well, since we can't get any work done around here, go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com now.
IT Solutions has been taking care of businesses' technology needs for over 30 years. Learn more at IneedMyComputersToWork.com before it's too late.
Daryl Bewley here with Toyota of Iowa City. Right now through July 5th, all of our new 2017 RAV4s have available 72-month financing at 0%. Gas models have an added $1,000 in bonus cash, and hybrid models have an optional $2,500 customer cash. These are amazing incentives that last only through July 5th. Don't miss out. The Toyota RAV4 offers exceptional versatility, all-wheel drive, and the hybrid is rated at 34 miles per gallon in town. Our 2017 Camrys also have available 72-month financing at 0%, plus $1,000 bonus cash or $3,000 customer cash. We have an outstanding selection for you to choose from and outstanding low lease and finance rates on most of our new Toyota models. Come on in and let Toyota of Iowa City make it easy for you to drive home in the new Toyota of your choice.
0% financing for 72 months requires qualifying credit and is $1,389 per thousand borrowed. Does not include $130 dealer documentation fee.
A piece of cake. A Sunday morning. ABC. Those are easy. So is earning a power rate and ATM refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
All right, Dean, time for your annual review.
Take me out to the Twins game.
Okay.
Buy me some cheese curds and ice cold drafts.
Yeah, well, your lunches go pretty long.
I'm in need of sunshine, not a chat.
This is mandatory.
I want epic innings, not balance sheets.
Okay, I get it. Well, enjoy. And have a hot dog for me.
Change up your summer with the Minnesota Twins. Single game tickets are on sale now at twinsbaseball.com.
527 and taking a quick look at the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. A couple people listening to the countdown to kickoff, bristling at the mention of Oliver Martin, not because they were upset that we brought him up, but still bothered by the fact that he could have made an immediate impact on this year's Iowa football team, playing time readily available at receiver, but the kid wanted to go to Ann Arbor, and I certainly would behoove the fan base not to wish any ill will on him. But we'll see. I thought it was interesting that he said that there's an opportunity for Oliver Martin to maybe play this year. I thought probably a redshirt candidate, but it sounds like things are a little bit more wide open in Ann Arbor with Jim Harbaugh's program in that third year than maybe some people would expect. And I think it's probably due in large part to the fact that they've suffered so much attrition. But you lose a player like Jabril Peppers and he's not the guy that Josh names as the biggest loss on the defensive side of the football. That, to me, just tells you how much talent that they traditionally have to work with there in Ann Arbor. Again, the countdown to kickoff will continue tomorrow with the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and then Friday we'll be taking a look at the Northwestern Wildcats, so a pair of Western Division foes for the Hawkeyes on tap. Kyle's going to be joining us here in the studio shortly. We'll have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update on the way for you. As a matter of fact, he's ready right now. Kyle, take it away.
Former Nevada running back James Butler announced on his Twitter yesterday that he would become a graduate transfer and play his final season with the Hawkeyes. Butler was the Wolfpack's 2016 MVP after his second consecutive 1,300-yard rushing season and also leads all returning running backs in the country in forced missed tackles. Pat Lugo also announced on his Twitter yesterday that his rumored transfer to the Iowa wrestling program was official. The two-time NCAA qualifier at Edinburgh has 2 years of eligibility remaining, but plans to redshirt before stepping in after Brandon Sorensen graduates. The wrestling and football programs each received commitments from high schoolers yesterday, beginning with three-star defensive tackle Noah Shannon out of Oswego, Illinois. Shannon was at one time committed to Minnesota, but the 6-foot-300-pounder officially committed to the Hawkeyes yesterday over offers from Arkansas, Michigan State, and Iowa State. The wrestling program also snagged heavyweight Anthony Cassiope out of Illinois yesterday. Cassiope is the 5th-ranked heavyweight in the class of 2018 and is actually flipping his commitment from Northwestern. The Cedar Rapids Colonels lost a pitching duel yesterday 2-1 to the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, but the teams play again tonight here in Cedar Rapids at 6:35. It's lefty Evan Sanders for the Colonels and Braden Webb for the Timber Rattlers. Tonight on KGYM, beginning at 7 o'clock, you can hear Irvin Santana on the hill for the Twins, hosting the Los Angeles Angels. The Twins won Game 1's 1-2, and are going for the three-game sweep tonight. We'll toss to that game right after our show on 107.5 The North, Jim.
Cubs a 7-3 winner earlier today over Tampa Bay thanks to a three-run pinch-hit home run in the sixth inning by John Jay. Toronto beat New York 7-6. Miguel Montero settling in quite nicely with his new ball club in Toronto. And one game in progress right now, Oakland, a 6-2 advantage on the Chicago White Sox at the Coliseum. White Sox have announced that September 9th at Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago will be Tim Raines Day, honoring and celebrating the career of the newly minted Hall of Famer. Most people, when you hear the name Tim Raines, probably think of the Montreal Expos, but Tim Raines had some pretty good years wearing a White Sox uniform as well. And that's the one thing that the Sox, I think, do really well is that they like to give a nod to and honor their past. And I think they do an exceptional job of that, and it should be a great day. You were there for Mark Burley.
I was.
Getting his number retired a couple weekends ago. Did you give Scott Unash the pin?
I did.
Okay. And what was his reaction?
It was, I think, of excitement, not jubilation, because it wasn't a
bobblehead. It's just, I mean, it's a lapel pin.
It was a little lapel pin, but
I'd like to see Scott wear it around the office. I really would, just even on like a golf shirt, just randomly put a lapel pin on and wear it.
I think during high school football, where we wear our KGYM polos, that would be a perfect time to wear the Mark Burley lapel pin.
Yeah, all this talk about college football being right around the corner, high school football is on the horizon as well. We're going to get to that, I'm sure, coming up in the weeks and months here on KGYM. We'll have to come up with a plan for those high school football Fridays. We'll circle back around to baseball, because a lot of rumors are out there at this point with regard to the looming trade deadline coming up at the end of the month. And the St. Louis Cardinals, mired in third place in the National League Central, could be looking to stir some things up with the acquisition of a former American League MVP, Josh Donaldson. What would it take, and is it actually going to happen? We'll have that for you coming up next at the bottom of the hour. 6 o'clock showdown is on the way tonight as well.
You know that old saying, time is money? Well, that couldn't be truer when it comes to real estate these days. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and how that affects how much you sell your home for. If you tried to sell it a while back and couldn't get your price, let Doug McAllister and Pinnacle give it another try. The time has never been better than right now to get your price. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Time is wasting.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll. Hey, Colonels.
It's Iowa State Cyclone Night at the Colonels this Friday. The first 1,000 fans will receive a free Iowa State baseball cap and bid on Iowa State game-worn jerseys. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Very.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. Aaron Judge hit his big league leading 29th home run of the season, tied Joe DiMaggio's Yankee record for home runs by a rookie as New York rallied from a 5-0 deficit. But the Yanks let down by their bullpen. Up 6-5, Chad Green gave up a game-tying homer to Russell Martin, top 7. Dellin Betances, 4 walks in the 8th, forced in the go-ahead run. Judge struck out to end the game. Toronto edged New York 7-6. Cubs got 2 RBI and a run scored out of Anthony Rizzo. They beat the Rays 7-3. Indian skipper Terry Francona remains hospitalized at the Cleveland Clinic. Will miss his second straight game tonight. Doctors running tests to determine what's been making him feel lightheaded. This is Francona's third hospital stay in the past month. Bench coach Brad Mills will run the Indians in Francona's absence. NHL MVP Connor McDavid signed an 8-year, $100 million extension with the Oilers. NBA, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reporting. Free agent guard Deion Waiters finalizing a 4-year deal to remain with the Heat. And guard Nick Young agreed to a 1-year, $5.2 million contract with the Warriors.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
When you're hiring for a growing business, you don't need lots of candidates. You need the right candidates. You need Indeed.com. With an algorithm that positions your job post where quality candidates are and screener questions that help you zero in on the best talent. Indeed.com, the site proven through an independent study to deliver five times more hires than any other. New users claim your $50 credit for a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Thank you for never giving up.
Thank you for protecting our planet.
Thank you for saving the human race.
Only Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil can deliver the ultimate protection needed for those protecting our world. We're proud to do our part to protect them. Thank you, Autobots, for doing yours to protect us all. Valvoline, the official synthetic motor oil of Transformers The Last Knight. Only in theaters. Right now, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts and get a free Valvoline action figure. Offer expires July 26, 2017. Proof of purchase required. Limit 2 while supplies last. See store for more details.
With Quicken Loans, our simple process helps you understand all the details so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage. Call 800-QUICKEN or go completely online with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.23%. Call 800-QUICKEN or get started online at rocketmortgage.com. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
With unlimited data from T-Mobile, you've got unlimited access to MLB All-Star Week. Host and follow the game's biggest stars as they belt bombs and live it up on the sidelines with hashtag score unlimited. And no matter where you are, never miss a moment from Miami on America's best unlimited network. With T-Mobile, unlimited data means unlimited baseball.
Top 3% of data users over 32 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video typically streams at 480p. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
5:37, the halfway point of another edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across Eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym. Poll question is available for you today at kgymradio.com. What's the over/under on rushing yards next season for Iowa newcomer James Butler, the graduate transfer joining the Hawkeye football program from the University of Nevada, where he ran for over 1,300 yards last season as a member of the Wolfpack? We set the number at 750 yards, and the majority of our listeners, safe to say, highly optimistic that James Butler, in his lone year of eligibility, is going to eclipse the 750-yard mark. A couple people on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line thinking Iowa's going to have back-to-back 1,000-yard rushers for the second year in a row, Akram Wadley and LaShawn Daniels, and presumably Akram Wadley and James Butler. We're going to circle back around and get to Hawkeye football again in hour number three. Also, the big NBA news over the 4th of July break, Gordon Hayward making his way to the Boston Celtics. Do the Celtics now have what it takes to compete? Oh, wait, that's right. They were the one seed in the Eastern Conference last season. I know they're not LeBron and the Cavaliers, but let's stop the overreaction to, is this the move that makes the Celtics contenders? They were already contenders, and they've got the draft picks to remain contenders. That's neither here nor there. I want to talk a little baseball with you, Alex. And I'm not talking about Wrigley Field and whether or not we're going to go see the Cubs and the Cardinals on the 23rd. We are. I'm relatively confident about that. But the St. Louis Cardinals, I found this interesting the other day, may be interested in acquiring the services of Josh Donaldson from the Toronto Blue Jays. And I think it sort of signals where both teams are at this point in the season, because even with the second wild card, you still have a lot of teams that are within striking distance and are hesitant to tear down and become sellers. But the Blue Jays are 39-45 at the moment, But they're dead last in the American League East, and they're 10 games behind the Red Sox right now. They're five and a half games behind second place, which is currently occupied by the Yankees. Now, on the other hand, you've got your Cardinals, 40-43. They're in third place in a really mediocre National League Central. They're a game and a half behind the Cubs for second, 4.5 games behind the Brewers for first place. Milwaukee at 46-40. Great acquisition, by the way, on part of the Brewers, bringing in Stephen Vogt, who was designated for assignment by the Oakland Athletics. They've got their starting catcher moving forward. He's homered, four times, I think, since joining the Brewers, including the other day. A very nice pickup for them. They continue to be the class of a not-so-classy division this year. But the Cardinals think that maybe they're within striking distance of winning the division, and that's what you're going to have to do to get into the postseason this year, because as you and I have discussed, you don't see the wild card coming out of the National League Central. It's most likely going to be, at this point, a couple teams from the NL West. Now, John Morosi of MLB Network and various other outlets reports that the Cardinals have had no specific talks with the Blue Jays about Donaldson. But this is a guy who's an American League MVP, a solid home run hitter, third baseman that you presumably acquire and drop right into the heart of a lineup of a team that for the last, let's say, 2 years has had a little bit of an identity problem and now thinks that it's a home run hitting team. This, to me, would sort of be a further step in that direction in rebranding that team's style of play. I mean, you don't bring Josh Donaldson in and play traditional defense-oriented small-ball Cardinals baseball.
No, and I think last year the power was what saved them. The power surge was what kept them competitive. And then this year, they haven't hit for as much power and nothing really except for this past couple of weeks and the little surge they had after that 3-9 start out of the gate has gone right for them. But I think more than that, the question that I would have for this, first of all, would be what would be the asking price for the Toronto Blue Jays? And what do the St. Louis Cardinals have to offer the Toronto Blue Jays that would make this enticing? And I ask that because there's going to be a little bit of decision time upcoming for Mike Matheny, John Mozeliak, and now Mike Gersh. They have a log jam in the outfield with guys that they want to get at bats, and now they're going to have it in the infield. Eledmys Diaz is down in the minor leagues. Colton Wong is on a rehab assignment. He's coming back up. Dexter Fowler's on the DL. And the guys that they have brought up from AAA, whether it's Tommy Pham or Luke Voit or Paul DeJong, they've all produced. And I just wonder, if they were to do this, would the Toronto Blue Jays ask? I don't think there are really any enticing prospects or many enticing prospects in the Cardinals organization. They'd probably be asking for a return of several major league players. And I don't know who those would be, but there's a lot of shuffling going on. But I think what is starting to happen is they're finding positions of guys, and they want to have a pretty much an everyday lineup to the point or you can plug Josh Donaldson in there. He's going to be your three hitter. You can put somebody at first base who's going to be your four or five. It's just been such a revolving door, and it leaves a lot of Cardinals fans head spinning because you don't know who's going to be out there playing and out there producing. And some of these young guys have come up and produced and made the entire picture even more blurry.
I think the question you touched on it is what it would take to get Donaldson, who at this point in his career has been passed around like a bad penny. And I will say this, I've never really been impressed with his demeanor, and I think that there's a reason why the Cubs, who originally drafted him, were okay with throwing him in the Rich Harden deal. Good God, that thing still gives me nightmares thinking about it, but he wasn't with Oakland very long. He was still relatively affordable and a good fit with the A's, and they turned around and dealt him to Toronto, and now you've got the Blue Jays who are seemingly willing to part ways with him. And just something doesn't quite seem right there with Josh Donaldson as far as his production and what he does when he's on the field and when he's in the batter's box. You'd expect organizations to want to hang on to a player like that as opposed to turning around and dealing them. Now, if I take a look, you say the Cardinals don't have a whole lot to give for him, and it would have to be probably a package around major league players. I don't necessarily know if that's the case or not. I would think that you would maybe start with a guy who has been in the majors for a little bit this year. How attached are you to Magnera Sierra?
I'm not going to say he's untouchable.
He seems like a guy who they would probably sell high on.
Yeah, I think that if he would be a centerpiece to a deal, then I would be absolutely all for the Cardinals making him the centerpiece for a Josh Donaldson.
Totally
attached.
They've got a glut of middle infield prospects. You mentioned Aledimus Diaz, who's back cooling his heels in AAA Memphis right now. They drafted Delvin Perez last year. I think he's hitting under 200 right now in the Appalachian League, which is not great, but they were lucky to steal him where they did anyway because he had the PED cloud over him going into the draft. They've got Edmundo Sosa, who was in the Midwest League a couple years ago. Those guys are all shortstops. Eliezer Alvarez, who I think was at AA Springfield the last time I looked. So they've got a glut of middle infielders, and I think that they could package one of those guys. You've got some intriguing arms. They're not parting with Alex Reyes, who's coming back from Tommy John surgery, but maybe a Luke Weaver. I don't know, because that would hit them a little bit in their rotation depth. Not that Luke Weaver is going to win a Cy Young Award or anything. If he does, he'll do it wearing a Cardinals uniform, trust me. But you sort of need the Luke Weavers of the world. Dakota Hudson, who they drafted last year out of Mississippi State, who maybe is more of a bullpen guy at this point. How about Trevor Rosenthal? You think they'd get any interest in putting him in some sort of, not that he'd be the headliner, but Rosenthal isn't exactly doing anything to endear himself to the Cardinals at this point. You talk about a guy like Josh Donaldson, it's going to take a lot to get him away from a team like the Blue Jays, but I think the Cardinals could do it, and I think that would maybe be the move that would invigorate that team on the north side of Chicago that I know you don't like talking about a whole lot, because at this point, it seems like the Cubs are ready to just sit back and say, well, we'll start hitting the ball and we'll start pitching a little bit better. It can't remain this bad for the rest of the season, could it? I mean, they're going to make a minor move here or there, but Justin Verlander and Alex Avila, the Tigers, are the guys that they're reportedly looking at. Verlander is no longer a Cy Young caliber pitcher, but he would certainly be an upgrade over what they've got on the back end of the rotation. Although John Lackey did have a quality start today in that Cubs win. He looked shaky doing it, but at the end of the day, his line in the box score goes down as a quality start. And then Avila would be the backup catcher along with Wilson Contreras, basically filling that Miguel Montero veteran role. But back to Donaldson and the Cardinals. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being highly likely, they pull this off. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's the likelihood here that the Cardinals could possibly pull this off and make this deal?
I'll go ahead and say a 3.
So you're not. So what do they do then?
Right now, I think, and they've been playing better as of late, I think they're excited with some of the guys that have come up and done a good job. Like I brought up Paul DeJong. That was a guy that you put on my radar. I didn't know anything about him as a prospect, but he is a very solid hitter and a very solid fielder at shortstop, and they like the fact that they have depth at that position, and that when Aledmys Diaz comes back, they're going to have even more depth up the middle. I think they're starting to go with the youth movement a little bit. They're starting to bring some guys up, and hopefully those guys will develop a little bit better than this last core group of young guys did. And Colton Wong has been better this season, and I think they're going to wait till the offseason to possibly make a splash in free agency instead of mortgaging their farm and mortgaging their future on a deal in the middle of the season for a guy like Josh Donaldson, who you don't know if he's healthy. You don't know about the calf injury that has really hampered him all season and has possibly led to a dip in production. So I wouldn't be against it as a Cardinals fan, but I'll believe it when I see it.
This, to me, says they want to go for it this year. And
I don't think they have the team to do that.
Okay, so let me ask you this. A, should they do it? Because I'm hearing you say no. And B, is this a little bit of a reaction to the Cubs winning last year? Do they feel like they need to prove to their fan base that, hey, this aggression will not stand, to quote the Big Lebowski, that they still want to be the big dog that rules the roost in the division, and they're going to make a move to prove it? Because right now it's a three-team race. Any one of those three teams, and they're all three mediocre. The Cubs certainly qualify as mediocre at this point, given what they did last year compared to this year. It's a three-team race, and any one of those three teams can win it. They want to make a move for it. I'm asking you as a Cardinals fan, do you think that's a good idea? 319-366-1600.
No, and as crazy as this sounds, and you might not believe me when I say this, I think a lot of Cardinals fans, reality is starting to set in on this team, and about this team, and the Cubs, they're not looked at as, I don't think a lot of Cardinals fans are looking at it as, oh, well, we want to be the big dog in this division, because clearly this team is not good enough to be that big dog. And there are so many holes all over the place. There are so many things that need to be addressed that bringing in one guy and possibly trading away your future, I just don't think makes a lot of sense at this point. But if they can package a deal that makes sense that doesn't do that, then you can do that. But hey, getting a former MVP, that's going to cost you.
Cubs a 7-3 winner earlier today over Tampa Bay. We already mentioned that. White Sox were in progress and losing to the Athletics. We'll have the Twins coming up for you tonight on 107.5 FM. Details about that game to come on our next Big Board update. Plus, we still have today, sometime before 7 o'clock, a prize package from the Amana Colonies Golf Course that we need to hook somebody up with. That is a round of golf, a cart, and some range balls. We'll do that coming up in hour number three. It's 5:53. We'll close out hour number two when we return with a Big Board update. Kyle Mann making his way into the studio. Now, hour number three will get kicked off, by the way, with the 6 o'clock showdown. Also, more Iowa football talk to come as well. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show on KGYM. Back with more after this.
DePaco is a local financial cooperative that gives back to its members, like me. Just for keeping and growing my savings and services with them, my share was $200. They call it thank yous. Extra money I use to spoil the grandkids. And it makes me feel like $1 million.
At a financial cooperative, members are owners. It's member participation that powers DePaco Community Credit Union. Thank yous is money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and spending. Last year, DePaco members shared in more than $2.85 million in thank yous. How will you use yours?
Get a gym membership.
Go to the movies.
Donate it to charity.
Pay down my student loan.
Add to my retirement savings.
Buy that purse I just saw.
Learn more at DePaco.com/thank yous. Participate, cooperate, accumulate. The more you use DePaco, the more you're thanked. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
I'm burning up, Eastern Iowa. Summer's here, and I'm almost out of year. So I'm rolling out my hottest deals to get in gear. Dave Wright here from Dave Wright Nissan Subaru. Driving your old ride got you hot and bothered? Don't sweat it. Payments too high? Don't sweat it. Owe too much on your trade? Don't sweat it. Because right now, we're pulling out all the stops. So you can beat the heat in a nicer, newer car. And you could get approved with as little as $7 down. Are you sweating some past credit mishaps? Don't sweat it. Bad credit? Don't sweat it. you could be approved with a perfect payment for your budget today. So if you're sick of your old ride, don't sweat it. You could drive away in a nicer, newer car today with as little as $7 down. But hurry, the hottest deals will end at the end of the month. Visit Dave Wright Nissan Subaru today on the corner of North Center Point and Boyson Roads, or see all the cars at DaveWrightAuto.com. That's DaveWrightAuto.com.
Credit requires bank approval. Negative equity may be refinanced.
5:55, welcome back. It is a, let me check the calendar here, a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brumlow Camp Show. 4th of July on a Tuesday kind of throws everything off, doesn't it?
Yeah, I woke up,
I woke up this morning, and it just today felt like a Monday. I just didn't really want to get out of bed. I don't want to get out of bed most days because I'm overweight and I'm not a big fan of waking up in the mornings. I'm kind of like Garfield, except I'm not a huge fan of lasagna. You guys know who Garfield is, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay. I want to make sure after. Now, I asked Kyle this on Monday because you weren't here, Alex. Do you know who Cato Kaelin is?
I do not.
Okay. So that's 0 for 2 on Cato Kaelin. He was a part of the O.J. Simpson trial. He and his family won the 50-50 drawing at the Milwaukee Brewers game on Monday. Very lucrative day for the guy who was staying in the guest house at O.J. Simpson's mansion the night that he murdered his ex-wife. I mean, allegedly murdered his ex-wife and Ron Goldman. 5:56. Let's send it over to Kyle for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. One of these days, O.J. is going to catch the real killers.
Former Nevada running back James Butler announced on his Twitter yesterday that he would become a graduate transfer and play his final season with the Hawkeyes. Butler was the Wolfpack's 2016 MVP after his second consecutive 1,300-yard rushing season and also leads all returning running backs in the country in forced missed tackles. Pat Lugo also announced on his Twitter yesterday that his rumored transfer to the Iowa wrestling program was official. The two-time NCAA qualifier at Edinburgh has 2 years of eligibility remaining, but plans to redshirt before stepping in after Brandon Sorensen graduates. The wrestling and football programs each received commitments from high schoolers yesterday, beginning with three-star defensive tackle Noah Shannon out of Oswego, Illinois. Shannon was at one time committed to Minnesota, but the 6-foot, 300-pounder officially committed to the Hawkeyes yesterday over offers from Arkansas, Michigan State, and Iowa State, among others. The wrestling program also snagged heavyweight Anthony Cassiope out of Illinois yesterday. Cassiope is the 5th-ranked heavyweight in the class of 2018 and is actually flipping his commitment from Northwestern. The Cedar Rapids Colonels lost a pitching duel yesterday 2-1 to the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, but the teams play again tonight here in Cedar Rapids at 6:35. It's lefty Evan Sanders for the Colonels and Braden Webb for the Timber Rattlers. Tonight on KGYM, beginning at 7 o'clock, you can hear Irvin Santana on the hill for the Twins hosting the Los Angeles Angels. We'll toss to that game right after our show on 107.5 The North, Jim.
All right. Thank you very much, Kyle. And hour number three is going to get kicked off with a 6 o'clock showdown. Some delicious Chick-fil-A sandwiches on the line tonight if you can answer 7 questions in 60 seconds. More Hawkeye football talk to come as well. And we may even get to Gordon Hayward heading to the Celtics. Back with more of hour number three after this.
Just announced, during the Ford Summer Sales Event, get 0% financing for 72 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on vehicles like Ford.